Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Well, hello there. It is excellent to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I also share more writing and a complete archived podcast on remarkablecommunication.com. So today I want to talk about a misconception that I have started to see quite a bit around the web, and it's a way that we divide business writers. We have kind of two categories. We have the hard writers. These are the conversion copywriters, you know, the gangsters, the assassins, as somebody said in the comments recently on Copyblogger. These are the ones who make businesses a lot of money because words are what drive sales on the internet. And this is often contrasted with content writers. So a lot of companies, a lot of businesses think about content writers as soft. You know, they have what we call a soft skill. It's nice to have, as long as there's budget and as long as we're not feeling too tough-minded this week. And that, I think, is a dangerous mistake. So as content writers, as content creators, if we're doing it right, we make businesses lots of money, because words are what drive sales on the internet. So if the content on your website is fuzzy or fluffy, or it just exists to make you kind of feel good, then soft would probably be the right word. But those things are not what content is great at. And I don't think any of us should be settling for soft, fluffy content. So over on Copyblogger, we have talked for some years now about a false dichotomy people make with business writing between the killer and the poet. So the really effective business writers, and that applies whether you're writing in-house, whether you are a freelancer who writes for clients, or you're creating content for your own business, the most effective business writers combine both, the killer and the poet. And of course, it's that poet part that's often undervalued. But if we're going to put words together in a pleasing way, we have to know how to do that to create writing that's enjoyable to read. And in the 21st century, it's really hard to find an audience that will engage with content that isn't enjoyable to read, or will engage with a podcast that is not scripted in a way that's enjoyable to listen to. So people might think, well, yeah, you know, for blog posts or podcasts or videos, but this also applies to sales pages, it applies to email sequences, it applies to launch content, it applies to white papers. Any words that you are going to arrange for a business purpose have to be interesting, because in 2019 and going forward, people who will put up with boring content just don't exist anymore. Now, the other side of the same coin is there has to be enough strategy in that piece of content to justify the cost of writing it, because all writing is expensive. So if you are paying good writers, you have probably noticed they command very nice fees. Good, strategic, capable writers with a strong writing voice charge a lot of money, as you know they should, because there's more demand for what they do than there are writers who are really up to the job. And even if you're not paying a writer yet, or if you're writing for your own project, or you're writing in-house, you know that effective writing takes time. It takes considerable time. And time, of course, is that one resource that can never be replenished, right? Once we've spent it, it's gone. That's why we call it content marketing and not content hobbying, because content serves important business goals, or there's really no sense in spending the resources to produce it. So lately, I've been bouncing around a term, conversion content marketer. And that's a content creator who knows how to drive measurable business results with content. And at this point, it would be important to tip my hat to our friends over at Copy Hackers, which is a fantastic site for conversion copywriters. They popularized that term, conversion copywriter, just to mean writers who are really focused on measurable business results. So not all conversion copywriters write content. A lot of them only write what they call bottom of the funnel, things like sales pages or, you know, sales sequences. But in my definition, all conversion content marketers are also conversion copywriters. So hopefully that makes sense. So today I thought I would talk about three key performance indicators, KPIs, if you are familiar with a little bit of business speak, that smart content creators can drive with the right content, with strategically created content. And the first is that content attracts prospect attention. So any good copywriter knows that the first letter of most copywriting formulas is A, and it stands for attention. Because until you can get the attention of a person who would be a good candidate for your product or your service, you can't do anything else. You can't deliver a message until you have attention. And most traditional advertising focuses here for just that reason. There's no way to sell something to somebody if they have no idea you exist and they're not paying any attention to you. And of course, we all know that audience attention becomes more fragmented every year. So powerhouse content, effective content, is still what works to attract the attention of people who might want to do business with you. But we've all seen that more and more ordinary content is piling up. This is sometimes called content shock, per Mark Schaefer's term for it. And as more of that ordinary material piles up, it's your job to make sure that what you are creating is extraordinary, that it's worth the attention that you're asking for, because attention is precious. Now, where I see people get a little mixed up is they think that great content, you know, automatically attracts an audience. If you build it, they will come. There's just no truth to this, and there's no reason to believe it. You still need to promote even excellent content. And that might be through influencer outreach. It might be through paid advertising. If you've been playing the game long enough and you're ready to reap some rewards, it could be through search engine optimization. So I'm not saying that great content automatically finds an audience, because that is not true. What I am saying is you cannot find and build a decent audience without excellent content that stands above just the sea of mediocrity that's already out there. The kinds of customers or clients that you are trying to pull toward your business still read blog posts. They still listen to podcasts. They still watch videos. They still consume content. So it's your job to put enough art into content that they choose yours when they're given the opportunity. So it's not really a KPI in business unless it can be measured. This, you know, measuring attention is relatively straightforward. Measuring your traffic and where it comes from is really the first analytic task of any website owner. So fire that Google Analytics account up and just learn the basics. Honestly, it is a matter of sitting with your head down for a half hour or an hour and just picking some things up. You can start by paying attention to what kinds of headlines and what kinds of topics seem to be getting the most clicks, the most shares, the most attention. One of our audience members, Hashim Warren, used repeat site visits when he was creating content for a client as a way of measuring attention in a meaningful way. And I think that's a really smart one, because it shows not just that you are getting attention, but that you're getting a little bit more engaged attention. You know, the people who are clicking through are actually awake enough to want to come back. Excellent metric. So that leads to the next business result that content is really excellent at, and that is at building an engaged audience. Because it's one thing to get a prospect's attention, and it's another thing to keep a prospect's attention. And the most important factor for virtually any business is what's sometimes called a starving crowd. That's Gary Halbert's old expression for a group of potential customers or clients who want and need what you have to offer. So once you have done the hard work of attracting an audience, and that is often supplemented by some dollars spent on advertising, then it's your job as a conversion content marketer to keep that audience close. So it doesn't matter what traffic strategy you're using. A web of interesting and engaging content is going to help you keep that traffic on your site so that you can actually have that conversation about what you offer. And that's why a solid content marketing strategy doesn't include just kind of splashy attention-getting pieces like, you know, BuzzFeed-style quizzes or controversial pieces. You also need the thoughtful, well-developed material that lets your audience take the next steps that are important to them. And that's really about encouraging your web visitors, your traffic, to get better results with their goals by connecting with you on a deeper level. Usually that's with email. Sometimes chat has a role to play as well. So an advertising-supported site like BuzzFeed can get away with nearly 100% attraction-focused content, but your business probably can't. You need to be nurturing a more sustained conversation so that your audience starts to see how you're going to help them reach their goals. So how do we measure this? The tried and true way, it still works, it's still important, is to entice subscribers to your email list with focused and desirable opt-in incentives. And then you keep an eye on the growth of that list. This is where you start to escape the noise and the clutter of what's called content shock. And this is where you start to build a meaningful relationship with your audience. And the third KPI that I'm going to talk about today is that content matures leads. So you may have seen this myth that, you know, today's web savvy human beings have shorter attention spans than goldfish. If you point your browser to copyblogger.fm, I have a link for you that is, of course, a myth, which, you know, you realize you have more than 8 seconds of attention span for lots of things. However, it does point to something I think we all can see, which is that it's gotten really challenging to sustain audience attention because there are just so many distractions in the climate that we live in today. And every year, you know, it feels like we've reached peak distractibility, and then every year it gets worse. It's kind of amazing. So here's why that's not as dire as it sometimes feels like it is. When people have a problem they're trying to solve with your business solution, they will meet you halfway. They will give you a greater share of their attention if you can help them solve that problem efficiently and on a timeline that respects their needs. So in the more sales-oriented world, this is called lead maturation. It's a real sales function. It is a hard skill. And not everybody who stumbles across your business is ready to become a customer or a client today. Nothing works better than content to keep that prospect, that lead, parked and happy and engaged until the circumstances make sense for them to move forward. So this is where you're going to use longer format pieces, more in-depth pieces, potentially white papers, and also strategic sequences that are delivered with intelligent automation. And if you are looking for an email marketing solution that can kind of deliver that smart automation in a user-friendly way, we have some recommendations, and I will give you a link to that. Again, just point your browser to copyblogger.fm. So how do we measure lead maturation? This is where we first track your downloads for the high value pieces, the white papers, content upgrades. And again, a good email marketing solution is going to let you create sequences and then measure their effectiveness and your conversion effectiveness as that individual moves toward a purchase. So I'm going to wrap up by talking about a way that content can also build really what might be the cornerstone of traditional copywriting. And that's desire, fanning the flame of a desire that your product or service intends to fulfill. So when we think about great copywriting, this is the kind of thing we think about. So, you know, we think of that infomercial that makes you order that expensive new exercise machine at 2 a.m. It's the sequence of sales emails, you know, that has you just ripping your credit card out of your wallet to sign up for a course or for a workshop. Great catalog copy also falls into this category where you didn't even know you wanted something. And then you happen to open up a catalog that comes in the mail and all of a sudden, you know, you're on the internet and you've just spent $500 fanning the flame of desire. Now, in order to understand buyer desire, we have to understand something called the buyer stages of awareness as they're moving toward a purchase. And that is what I'm going to talk about in the next episode of this podcast series. We're also running the same series on the Copy Blogger blog. If you're a text person, you can check it out there, copyblogger.com. So stay tuned for more about ways that content marketing can actually be a very much a hard skill to convert customers into buyers. That's it for today. Thank you for your time and your attention, and I'll catch you next time.